welcome to the Ted Brewer Show. My co-host tonight is my wonderful wife, Sharon Brewer. She'll be joining me for this Valentine's Day broadcast, and probably from now on, every Sunday night, unless I'm able to get a guest on for Sunday night, which is difficult because most people don't want to work on Sunday night as far as doing radio or TV interviews. So I'm really blessed to have my wife today, and we're going to have fun talking about Valentine's Day. We're going to be having fun talking about how we met. We're going to go into detail on the, you know, how to have a great marriage. And I'm also going to be talking about the death of Justice Scalia today. I don't want to start with that, though, because that's kind of a bad topic. We'll talk about it, though, in depth as soon as my wife and I get finished talking about some fun stuff. And we'll also start with the scripture of the day right now. I want to start with you guys right now. I want to read with you from Matthew, from the Red Letter Edition of the Bible, chapter 15. And who Jesus was talking to, he was talking to the religious leaders of the day and what they were doing and how they had compromised themselves and how they weren't following the Torah anymore and how they were basically making up stuff as they were going for their own traditions. And we see this in today's church. The church has walked away from the basic tenets of the Bible. It has walked away from the truth. It has given itself over to this weird name it, claim it, blab it, grab it gospel. A lot of folks have. It's given itself over to a sense of how good can I feel when I leave church, and where's the repentance, and where's the basically the truth. So let me read you what Jesus said to these leaders who were doing the same thing at this point in time. This was several thousand years ago. Matthew chapter 15, verse 3. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death.' But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted for God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." And guys, this is where the church has found itself again 2,000 years later, when the third century church, the fourth century church, 323 or so AD, was brought into the Roman Empire, and all the pagan Roman customs were brought into the Christian church and into the Christian movement. It was basically contaminated. And that contamination has run through the Catholic hierarchy all the way through until the year 2016, including the Bank of the Vatican being one of the most corrupt banking institutions in the world, knowingly laundering money for the CIA for Operation Gladio and Operation Condor. This list goes on and on and on. So guys, we have to understand something. We've been set apart. We don't have to follow the rules taught by men. We need to follow what the Word of God says. Sharon, are you on with me?
Yes, and happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
It's so good to have you on with me, Sharon. Austin normally takes the seat with you, but on Sunday night, since he's got a pregnant wife, he's asked me if he could stay away from the Wednesday, so the Sunday night shows for a bit because it takes so much time away from his family. And since he's about to be a daddy and his whole life's about to change, which you and I both know since we have four children together, we know what happens once you get married. But I want to tell a story on you, if you don't mind, Sharon. I mean, the listeners have known you for a few shows you've done with me, but they don't really know how I met you. They don't know how we got together. They don't know the story about our first date. They don't know any of this stuff. So I want to talk about it for a second if we can.
Well, they're in for a real treat tonight.
Well, it's kind of an interesting story because Sharon and I first got together in 1984. And I had known her from several seminars that I had done. I'd spoken to her briefly two or three times, maybe five times for a few minutes. And then the way things fell out, I was out here looking for a date to go out with somebody. And I called a good friend of ours. Her name was Bev. And I asked Bev, I said, "Do you have Sharon's phone number?" And she goes, "Well, I do have it, but it's unlisted, so in case you want it, I've got to call her." And so she ended up getting me the phone number. I ended up calling. She called Sharon. I called Sharon back. We set up a date. And I want to tell you the story. I won't go into all the detail with all how we met and everything. But what I want to do is I want to tell you what happened on our first date. And by the time I'd gone out with Sharon, I'd known her. She had a very good reputation in Tallahassee. And I saw her potentially as someone who I was going to marry. And I know you guys think that sounds kind of silly on a first date. But, you know, if you're going out with people that you know you're not going to marry, that you don't want to have anything to do with long-term-wise, you kind of are wasting your time if you're going out with them, to be honest with you guys. And so if you're young and you're a teenager or you're in college and you don't listen to me right now, you'll leave a lot of heartache. especially nowadays with all the sexually transmitted diseases that are running rampant throughout the college campuses. But what was interesting, the first night we went out, I'll never forget this, we went to Shoney's Restaurant in Tallahassee. It was on Highway, on 90, it's on Tennessee Street. We were still living in Tallahassee. I was teaching college out there for 2 years after I'd graduated from graduate school from Florida State in 1980. Spent a few more years up there starting health masters. Now it was 1984. And we're out on a date. It's in February, if I believe, in 1984. And we went to Shoney's Restaurant. And I remember I asked her, I said, would you like a chicken salad or what would you like? And she goes, no, I'd rather have a hot fudge cake. That's the ice cream between two pieces of cake with nuts on top with chocolate fudge. And I said to her, my soon-to-be bride, I said, well, Sharon, I said, I'm not asking you about dessert. I'll be happy to get you dessert. I said, but would you like something to eat? She goes, no, I would just rather have a hot fudge cake for dinner. Now, Sharon, is this true?
It's a true story. I literally was a junkaholic, and I think Ted realized he had his work cut out for him at that point.
Well, so it was so funny. I order a chicken salad, right? So I'm sitting eating the chicken salad. She's scarfing down this hot fudge sundae. And so she finishes it. So in kind of a joke, I said to her, I said, would you like another one? And she looked at me and she goes, matter of fact, I would. And so she ordered another hot fudge sundae. Her dinner that night on our first day was two hot fudge sundaes. And
I just can't believe I did that.
but it was so funny because, you know, she had real high blood sugar. She was almost diabetic, and we were able to put her on a bunch of supplements and change her diet. And it's kind of like the Hagman blood sugar protocol. If you eat the right kind of foods, you take the right kind of supplements, you can stabilize adult onset diabetes pretty easily, because a lot of times it's not necessarily a true type of insulin problem like you have with juvenile diabetes, which the pancreas stops secreting insulin. The problem is your body's not utilizing the insulin properly. You're not getting sufficient quantities of sugar to the brain cells. You start constantly craving sugar. Sugars go sky high, but yet your body's not utilizing it properly. It's also called Syndrome X, and that's pretty much what Sharon had. And so we were able to stabilize her blood sugar. She went through some real sugar detox and some real sugar headaches, but we got her healthy. And 6 months later, we were married up in Tallahassee. And we've been living now, been happy to live in, we've been together now since 1984. And so I guess it's 32 years now we've been married. So it's been a real blessing for me. And so happy Valentine's Day to you, Sharon.
Oh, and happy Valentine's Day to you. And since it is Valentine's Day, Ted, what do you think are really like the two or three most important things? And I know we're talking to a lot of people that probably have been married longer than us, that have successful marriages. We don't have all the answers, but what I know what you're going to say, but I'd like to tell the audience, like, the three main things that really make a marriage good and a lifetime marriage in any relationship, even if you're not married. But what are the main three things that you would say? Really,
well, the first thing,
a strong marriage.
Well, the first thing that I remember, I had a friend of mine. His name was Doug, and he was in a finance class that I took in the MBA program at Florida State. And I'll never forget, he had a great marriage. He'd been married for a couple of years. And finally, I asked him one day in class, I said, before class or after class, I said, what do you contribute this really good marriage and this great relationship that you have with your wife to? And now, I don't know if Doug was a Christian or not, because at that point in time, I had not been saved yet. And I remember Doug said to me, he goes, Ted, what we did and what we found out is this. You can't have a 50-50 in a marriage. It doesn't work. You have to have 100% and 100% both directions. In other words, I put her interest before mine, and she puts my interest before hers. And then when we have to make a decision, I'm the head of the household, and so we follow my direction or guidance, but I never lord that over her. I never hold that over her, and I treat her like she's just, like a Stradivarius, violin. And I do anything I possibly can in my power for her, and I always try to do it. I can't in my power to buy her what she needs or get her what she needs or support her any way I possibly can. Because we found when you do that, it makes a huge difference in your marriage. Now, I want to add Jesus into that, because when we got saved, I was saved in 1979. And so when I married you 5 years later, I began to realize, too, that the most important thing you had to have in your life was God, number one. God had to be your everything. You have to realize
that
God saved you, that Jesus Christ came into your heart, that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that you be connected to God in His dimension, and then you can basically live forever with Him through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ. And so I understood that. So then I also realized this, you got to be in church on a regular basis. And I understand that a lot of people have given up on Main Street churches. I got that. At least to be doing Bible studies at home. But don't be forsaking the Word of God. Now, the difference is with kids, we started having children in 1988 when Austin was born. you know, we were going to church on a regular basis, but we made sure that our child was in church all of the time in Sunday school. We made sure he was doing the trips, the camps, everything he possibly could. And one of the other three,
the youth groups,
whatever we can, we made sure we were in a godly church. And then when the other three children came along, you know, 10 years later, we realized that, you know, we had to maintain that church presence. We've had so many friends who have left that church presence behind with children, and they don't allow the child to be grown up in a church, and that church is not part of that child's life. So it's very difficult to make that church part of that child's life as that child gets older. Our children are excited about going to church, you know, on Wednesday night. They're excited about going to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night if we go on Sunday night. They're excited. They love going there because that's where all of their friends are, because we've decided to make those people in that youth group the friends of these kids to make sure they hang out together. Now, also, you've got to pray together every single day. Now, we've been doing this for the last 32 years. Now, we've really, really started doing it the last 5 years, as God spoke to me in that prayer. This summer will be 5 years ago. You have to pray together as a family out loud, and you have to pray in the positive tense. You have to pray what you want, not what you don't want. Like, you don't want to pray, "Dear God, don't kill me today." You don't pray stuff like that. That's not what you need to do. You need to pray, "Dear Lord, please keep me safe, my family safe today. Though 10,000 fall on my right side and 10,000 fall on my left side, no harm shall touch me or my family. I thank you, Father, that you always have your angel stationed around me. I plead the blood of Christ over me. I put a hedge of thorns around me." And what that allows you to do is speak in the positive sense. Because remember, these words that you speak are scalar waves, and they change the fabric of physical reality. And so if you speak the things that you want, you're going to get those things. If you speak the things that you don't want, including the horrible stuff, you may get those. That's why we have a good friend of ours right now. His whole life that I've known, he's always talked negative, negative, negative. He's always been self-deprecating. I mean, every time we talk to him, you say how great he's doing with this or that, you know, he says, he starts bad-mouthing himself. Well, you have to understand something. This is so important with your relationship, too, with your wife and with your spouse and with your children. You got to be very careful with the words that you choose, and you can't be joking in a harsh way. In other words, if you joke about stuff, you need to realize that your brain doesn't understand that it's a joke. So if you're putting your spouse down or putting your children down, you have to understand something. Your brain doesn't think it's a joke, and their brain doesn't think it's a joke. They think the voice of authority is just talk. So if you're constantly putting yourself down or putting your spouse down, it's going to really cause friction in your marriage. I remember years ago, we had another good friend of mine, a friend of ours, they were Mike and Patty. And I remember we were over at Disney Village together, and they just started, and they, every time we got together with them, and finally we quit hanging out with them, because every time they got around each other, they'd put themselves down, just in a jokingly way, just pick at each other, like, "You little pricks, little pricks, little pricks." And finally I told them, "Your marriage is dying a death of a thousand cuts." And they said, "What do you mean?" I said, "If you guys don't stop doing this," I said, "you're going to destroy your own marriage and destroy your own lives." Because what you have to understand is that your mind and your brain and your subconscious doesn't think any of these things are jokes. And when you say these things to each other, even though you're doing it in a joking way, it's awful. What you should be saying is, "I love you beyond belief. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're the light of my life. You know, Jesus brought you to me." So those are the things you need to be saying to each other and talking to yourself. If you want a joke, you can say, "You're the love of my life. You always will be." Say those things instead of cutting each other down. And see, so it's the prayer, it's the relationship with God, it's speaking the positive things, it's treating each other with 100% gratitude, it's making each other realize that if there is a problem that someone has to take control of, and you have a disagreement, that the wife, and I'm just going to make a lot of my listeners mad, the wife, according to the Word of God, and this is the way I believe, has to realize that the husband has to have the final say-so. Otherwise, what you end up with is a situation where the wife and the husband start having this constant conflict and clashing together. And when that happens, it has a tendency to destroy the marriages. That's why we've been married for 32 years.
But Ted, also, there may be listeners that are saying, "Yeah, I believe that. I want to do what the Word of God says. But the thing is, my husband isn't walking with God. He isn't in church. He's not the high priest of my home. He's not the spiritual leader." Well, in that case, it's hard to submit if they're not doing what the Word of God says. What we're talking about is if your husband is lined up with the Word of God, then you need to allow him to be the spiritual leader. You've got to be, you know, like you, Ted, you know, you are a godly father. You are a spiritual leader in our home. But that's why it's so easy for me to submit, because you're doing what the Word says. You see what I'm saying? Whereas if you're in a relationship or something, and the guy, you know, isn't following the Word of God, doesn't walk it, doesn't talk it, doesn't live it, it's kind of hard to submit if it's not the Word of God. You know what I mean?
Well, I believe that's true to a point, Sharon, when people have decisions that have to be made from a morality standpoint. If the husband decides that he wants to run around and have sex with a bunch of other women, and he wants his wife just to accept that, she obviously does not have to accept that if she's a born-again believer. However, you have to realize that people need to be very careful who they choose to marry. That's very important. You've got to choose well, and you've got to work really hard after you get married to maintain that type of relationship. So I'm talking to couples right now that are not married that may be dating at this point. If you're diametrically opposed in your values with the lady or the man that you're dating, and he's not saved or she's not saved, and you think, well, as soon as we get married, I'm going to change them, it's going to go badly in 95% of those cases. It really is, because chances are you're never going to change them, and they're never going to go to church, or they're never going to be right. If they want to go out and get drunk every weekend, your husband or your boyfriend, and beat people up, then there's a high probability they're going to continue to do that after you get married. The same thing. If you have a, if you've got a girl that you're dating who likes to go out to bars when you're dating her with other guys and other friends and dance with other guys, that's a bad sign that you don't want to be married to that person. So number one, you have to choose really, really well. Number two, you have to realize that if your husband or your spouse or your wife wants you to do something immoral, if you're a Christian, you can't go along with that decision. You're right about that. However, when it comes to money and a few of the other things, you know, somebody's going to have to lead in that relationship. And if someone doesn't lead, then they're not, no one's going to have the ability to control anything. But again, if the husband's a spendthrift and the wife's not a spendthrift and the husband stays broke all the time and he's always in debt and he won't pay his bills, it becomes a major problem. That's why the other day, Sharon, I read out of the book of Corinthians that do not be unequally yoked with the unbeliever. See, it's so important that we Christians have something to stand on and base something on. And if you are married to somebody who's not a believer, if you've gotten yourself into that situation, or you were dating them and you thought they were a believer, or you thought you could get them to church, or they were going to you with church to you when you met them and they decide not to go into church anymore, then you got to pray. Then you got to rely on the Holy Spirit, and you've got to realize that you have certain obligations as a wife and as a husband, even in a situation like that, to do what's right in God's eyes and not to sin. So that's what I always look at with people. Now, in the event that you have a husband or a wife that falls away from God or never knew God or doesn't want to go to church with you, then the Bible also gives us certain things for desertion and also for sexual immorality. Jesus talked about that you are able to, you know, file for a petition of divorce. And so that's what people need to understand as Christians, is that, you know, we have certain guidelines that we have to go by. It's like we don't want to be bad-mouthing each other or talking bad about each other, because it's not the right thing to do. The same thing is true in a marriage. If we're going to be bad-mouthing each other in a marriage or saying bad things about each other in a marriage, you need to really evaluate that marriage that you're in and why and who you think the problem is, because it takes two to tango in any relationship. I remember years ago we had a lady and a husband who were had a good marriage. They went to church, and then suddenly they decided they don't need to go to church anymore. They got mad at the youth group in the church. They stopped going to church. They had four children at home. They decided they weren't going to go to church anymore, and they decided to stay at home and start doing Bible studies. Well, within a year, the man's having an affair on his wife, running around on his wife. You know, then a few years later, the oldest daughter gets married and she has an affair on her husband, and then their marriage breaks up. I mean, what a disaster that turned into. Everything has to be based on the Word of God and prayer, and you have to be walking together as one in unison and doing everything you can to bring a Christian environment into your household, Sharon. But that's a good point. Anything else you want to say about that?
The two key words here are trust and respect.
And respect. Yep, that's right.
And you know, if you don't trust and respect each other, then you can't have a really solid, good relationship in marriage. And you know, we hear so much, like today we were listening, Ted, about how all this mess that's going on in the world, and they're trying to destroy the family, they're trying to destroy mothers, fathers, they, you know, all these terms and names they want to get rid of and everything. And so the family has got to get stronger and stronger and stronger, and it starts with the relationship with your spouse. Because your children are watching you, and you're teaching them how, when they get married, how they're supposed to act and how their marriage is going to be. Because we've got to start building up relationships in the marriage and making the family a stronger unit, because we've got the world pulling on us so hard right now. I mean, we've got all these terms, you know. You can't say mother, you can't say father. I mean, it's gotten so ridiculous, it's almost like a joke.
No, you're right. I remember that's what the communists went after. They went after the bourgeois. They actually, the bourgeois, the ones they were after were the ruling class in Russia back, you know, 100 years ago, who they overthrew, was Tsar Nicholas. And they labeled them, they branded them as horrible people when they wanted to have a family at home. when they wanted to have godly parents and godly children, and they want to go to church. That's when they came in, and the Bolsheviks came in, and they killed literally tens of thousands of the priests all through Russia, killed tens of millions of the people that were living their lives and trying to be what they wanted to be according to God's word. Killed tens of millions of them. And so, because they wanted to be an atheist, godless society. And that's what, remember, with Putin, he read all of these books, he saw all of this stuff, he heard it all from his grandparents, and he chose to turn Russia around. And when the Soviet Union fell, he decided to leave the teachings of Lenin and Marx and all the rest of these guys. Now, I know, you know, the Russia maybe taking bribes to Putin and all that kind of stuff to keep the industry going. I got all that, okay? But all I know is this: he's promoting families, he's promoting Christianity, he's promoting birth, he's promoting non-GMO foods, he's promoting no glyphosate around us. He's stopping soybean and corn introduction into Russia. I mean, he's doing everything he possibly can to restore the Russia from 150 years ago. He wants the bourgeois to come back, the family, the unit, the people that are going to love God and love Jesus. And he wants religious back in again. And so that's what we have to have in this country. Right now, we've got a bunch of godless atheists that are running the world that, well, they're not really atheists. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. They worship Lucifer. They're the ones who are doing this. They worship evil, and they're running the planet right now, and they're trying to destroy everything that God made, to flip everything upside down so that they can destroy the world. And they don't even realize they're so stupid, because they're so obsessed with this religion that they've gotten themselves into. They don't even realize when they destroy everything, there'll be nobody left to rule and nobody else to buy their junk that they make in China. And it's really kind of sad, Sharon. It really is. But, you know, anything else you want to say about the Valentine's Day and good relationships before we start with the news?
No, I think we've covered it all, but like I said, it's developing a relationship with a husband and wife, and then the family structure is going to be strong, and we've got to build families. I mean, we've got to do something, America. We've got to wake up, and then we've got to teach our children all this, because they're the next generation, and it doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't at all. In fact, I don't think that we're going to have another generation of God-fearing people. Remember, they're trying to make Christianity a minority in the United States. That's why they're importing the Muslims like crazy, because they realize that they were bringing the Mexicans in, but the Mexicans are primarily Catholic, which is a Christian-based religion, and now they don't know what to do because they didn't bring enough. They should have been bringing these Muslims in, these jihadists in. And so it's really kind of sad. I know that with me and you, we had 1 year when you had an ovary removed because you had a cyst on it, and you ended up, you know, having a really drop in your hormone production, and you had a really hard time with your moods and with your mood swings. We had 1 year that was very difficult when you went into menopause, but then what we were able to do is find a nutritional program to stabilize that menopause, stabilize those mood swings, and you wrote about that whole program and the whole thing that you were involved in and what happened to you extensively in our last book, Breakthrough Health, which I admire you and I really commend you for doing, because you really exposed the underbelly of menopause in the mood swings and what happens to so many women when they have problems, either have with hysterectomies, or they have problems with menopause, or they have problems with ovarian cysts, and their ovaries start going out of control. Would you like to talk about that just a little bit, honey? I haven't asked if you're going to do that.
Yeah, it's all about hormones. And the thing is it's a normal function to go through menopause, but we don't have to go through it like the world has conditioned us to do. We don't have to have all these side effects and negative issues and marital problems. I cannot believe when we hear, oh, so-and-so's divorced, or so-and-so's running around, and so-and-so, and say, is she going through menopause? Oh, yeah, she's going through menopause. We don't have to turn into like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. It doesn't have to be that way, because there's so many deficiencies that your body can take care of to counteract it. And I know when I put together the protocol, it was so rewarding for me to know that I had something to help women, that they wouldn't have to go through this. And it was the cod liver oil for the essential fatty acids. We get tremendous results with that. It really helps to combat depression, because your hormones get messed up, and what do? You're down, then you're up, you're down, and you're up. It's almost like a hypoglycemic roller coaster, and it's horrible, because that down feeling is just, all I can say is it's just yuck. But I know that. I know the B vitamins. Oh, my goodness. And I still take all this stuff, but I feel great all the time. I really, really do. And it's our prayer and our passion to be able to help people get set free from all this stuff, because life's too good and God's so incredible that we shouldn't have to go through life on this earth dealing with things that we can fix just by supplementation.
Well, that's right. We also recommend 5-HTP. We recommend the cod liver oil. We recommend the vitamin C, the D3K2, the potassium iodide. You take all of that stuff every day like you're supposed to, along with the cod liver oil. It's amazing what happens to your mood within just a couple of days. It's not like it takes a couple of weeks. It takes a couple of days to see a massive, massive change in your moods. And it's been shown now repeatedly that omega-3 fat supplementation is better and more effective than placebo supplementation. We're using Prozac. I mean, really, with Prozac, and plus, it doesn't want to make you kill yourself. I mean, remember the Prozac and the serotonin reuptake inhibitors and the tricyclic antidepressants. These all have side effects, including suicide. So you got to be really, really careful with that. We had another guy who's the maintenance guy who does our yard source at the office. He came in the other day, and his wife ran off with another woman. And that's all because of pornography. That's because of what's being promoted by the mainstream press. That's being promoted by Hollywood, by the Illuminati bunch that likes to worship Lucifer. They want to turn everything upside down that God does. The kid they have two or three kids. The little boy is great. I won't mention his name. He's a great kid. But now he's having problems with school. He's starting to fail his classes because he's tanking this internally. He's blaming himself for the fact that his mom ended up becoming a lesbian, and then he's so frustrated. See, but this is the programming that they do with the alpha brainwave they put you into when you sit in front of that idiot box for hours on end, every single week, every single night, every single month, all the time sitting in there just listening to and having your brain programmed. But again, but real quick, if you want to order any of these supplements from us, we have them at healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. You can also sign up for a free newsletter that we have that we send out two or three, four times a week. And it's all the latest facts on health and nutrition that we send out on a regular basis. It's a great newsletter. It's great. We have great products. And that's about all I want to talk about it for the show because I don't want to turn this into an infomercial. I'm not going to do that. But I want to thank you for supporting us. Thank you for going to healthmasters.com. Thank you for calling us when we're there at 863, or you can call us on the 800 number, 1-800-726-1834, 1-800-726-1834. I talk to so many of our listeners on a regular basis in the office, and it's just a pleasure to know that we have so many people listening and supporting us. And so thank you. Thank you, because we know you can buy your supplements anywhere. We happen to, I believe, have the highest quality supplements in the world. I make them for me and my family, so we use the same ones that we give you and that we provide for you. So I want to make sure that you realize that if I can make a better product, I would. So again, thank you from healthmasters.com. But let's go ahead and talk about what happened with Scalia. But let me read a story for you real quick, because this is important. I want to read you this. This is kind of, I believe, the crux of all this. Now, Well, let me just tell you this way. I'm not gonna read the whole article because then I gotta tie everything back together with that. But several weeks ago, the Supreme Court brought Obama's big shutting down all the coal plants to a halt. And the article even says he's going to be livid. And it goes into detail and says President Barack Obama's plan to impose strict new regulations on U.S. power plants hit a significant legal snag on Tuesday. This is February the 10th. With a split decision by the nation's highest court, according to news reports, 5-4 U.S. Supreme Court ruling put an immediate roadblock blocking the implementation of carbon emissions cap favored by the Obama administration. When I saw this a couple of weeks ago, I thought, this reminds me of Osama bin Laden and SEAL Team 6. That's what this reminds me of, that somebody's going to die here. This reminds me of Joan Rivers a couple of years ago when she decided to come out and say that Obama and here's what she said. You can watch her on YouTube. She said that Obama's gay and that Michelle's a tranny, and then within 30 days she was dead. And all of a sudden the Supreme Court, and his biggest agenda that he was given was to pass the TPP and to shut down all these coal power plants, over 100 coal power plants, which are using green technology with massive scrubber systems that don't allow them to pollute. And it's all part of crippling the United States economy and crippling the United States and crippling the infrastructure and destroying the ability of the United States to produce electricity. That's what this is all about. Rather than have us continue to use these nuclear power plants that are all leaking radiation, or a bunch of them are leaking radiation, and they just admit, they say, well, I guess it's supposed to be good for us now having radiation coming in from Fukushima and these plants. All of it's about to destroy the United States. That's their whole goal of the agenda. They want a godless, secular society in which they could bring in a one world religion and a one world order. You know, Goldwater talked about all of this stuff back in the 50s. He was the first guy who really got started, other than I guess it goes all the way back to the people who opposed the Federal Reserve System back in the 1913s, which was John Jacob Astor. He was against this New World agenda of the Rothschild banking cartel coming in and taking control of the United States through the money system and the Rockefeller situation, which they joined them. But it's still primarily the Rothschild cartel. And it's the Sabbatean Frankist Kabbalists that are involved in all of this stuff. And the sad part about all of this is that the vast majority of the population in the United States is in such a slumbering state, Sharon, that they don't even realize what's going on. So this weekend, Justice Scalia, who issued one of the strongest opinion articles about same-sex marriage, totally opposed to it, completely pro-Second Amendment, pro-First Amendment, pro-Constitution, pro-everything. Now, he wasn't perfect with everything he said. I didn't agree with everything. But gosh, I agree with 90% of what he said. All of a sudden, he goes hunting out in West Texas. Doesn't feel right on Saturday, Friday, they say. And on Saturday, they find him in his room dead. And immediately, they come in. Within 10 minutes on the timestamp, after they find him and they make the announcement, they come out and they say, he seems to have died of natural causes. Now, you remember last year when your half-brother died of a heroin overdose. And, you know, we talked about this at length on the show. And, guys, I'm not trying to air any dirty family laundry here. I'm not covering this in detail again. But when he died, this is in our family last year. The kid had been a drug addict his whole life. He's like 36 years old. When I met with the investigator who found heroin and cocaine at the death scene, along with needles and all the stuff to inject himself, for her brother to inject himself, when I asked him, I said, well, obviously the cause of death is a cocaine or a heroin overdose. He goes, we don't know that. We don't have any idea what the cause of death is, nor will we say what the cause of death is until a full autopsy is done. And he asked, well, how long will that take? He said, well, if we had to rush it with a full toxicology, we could do it within a week or so. But we're not going to do that because this is just another heroin overdose to us. We have so many in Orlando that we don't want to mess with it because we don't consider to be any... We don't consider that anybody killed Todd. We just think that somebody just basically, he just overdosed, but we don't know what, when and how it killed him. So we can't tell you how he died. So it took almost 3 months for the toxicology to get done, for them to send me a report with the autopsy. But suddenly, within 10 minutes, this guy, they say, oh, by the way, appears to be natural causes. Now, I don't know what killed Judge Scalia. I have no idea. It could have been natural causes. The problem is, heart attacks are one of the easiest things to fake. They have pulse guns now that can send a particular charge directly into the heart and stop the heart, because the heart's an electromagnetic engine and it works off what's called a sinoatrial node, and it initiates a pacemaker potential which allows the heart to beat. If you disrupt that with electromagnetic charge, which is what happens when you get electrocuted, or if you inject something into the body to stop the heart, like potassium chloride, there's no way to track any of that stuff because potassium and chloride are already found in the body, so you really can't do an autopsy. It's going to show anything. So it gets absorbed back into the tissues. So that's the biggest problem that you have in trying to prove a heart attack. They used to be real sloppy with all of this stuff before they had all the technology developed. Like with Abraham Lincoln, they shoot him in the back of the head, right? John F. Kennedy, they shoot him in the back of the head. They shoot him in the front of the head, multiple gunshots. You know, that's what they did. His brother, they shoot him. Okay, Martin Luther King, they shoot him. And they kept shooting everybody in the 60s because they didn't have all this advanced technology completed at that point. Well, now they don't do that anymore. The plane will crash. They'll have a puncture wound on their arm. And they'll have a massive heart attack. Their heart will explode. Or, you know, they just, you know, suddenly they commit suicide. That's the favorite way, is just to make sure that people suicide each other. And they shoot each other in the head twice, or they commit suicide using a nail gun and shoot themselves in the head 10 times. I mean, all this crazy stuff. And we're supposed to believe any of this stuff. And the problem is, we're so involved with the news changing on a daily basis, it becomes old news really very quickly. And so nobody thinks about it anymore. Well, this is a major problem now with what's happened with Justice Scalia's being dead. Because the truth is, you know, ask yourself this. I mean, we have already heard that members of the Supreme Court have been routinely blackmailed. Look at Justice Roberts, what he did as far as Obamacare.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look what's happened with all this, Sharon. Look at how the borders have been opened for just a flood of immigration through the United States. These are all illegal activities that are going on. Look at how the coal plants have been shut down, how ISIS has been funded through the federal government, how the TPP has been signed, completely breaking the Constitution. I mean, we are literally in a season of treason in the United States. So is it really something that we should not ask? Has Justice Scalia been murdered? I have no idea. But we have literally been taken over by this Rothschild offshore group, this coup that's taken over the United States. I mean, why in the world weren't we told we don't know what the cause of death was? An autopsy is pending. But we didn't do that. Remember, Obama was one vote away, reshutting down all the coal plants, taking the guns, stripping the Constitution, losing our First Amendment rights, having full-blown gay marriage throughout the United States, which they were already trying to do, full open borders, all legal through the Supreme Court. I mean, think about the fact that we've killed millions and millions of people in the Middle East in these ridiculous wars, and if the assassination of one Supreme Court justice is not possible, I have no idea. But all I know is this. I don't want to be naive about any of this stuff, and we have to realize that the more subtle they get with these deaths that they create, the more we believe all of this stuff. I remember years ago, I'm not going to mention any names, Sharon. You were with me when all this happened. We knew a friend. We had a friend of ours who was involved with a major TV ministry that he found out was running drugs and all kinds of other stuff. It was crazy. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, crazy, crazy stuff. And he told us about it. And I warned him. I said, dude, I said, you're talking about tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. I said, this is so corrupt. I said, I don't even want to know about this stuff. And he said to me, he goes, well, no, no, no. I'm a former police officer. I'm going to be safe. And I said, no. And the person who was going to be there, they had somebody else who was going to be deposed like the following week, and who was involved with all of the preacher himself was going to have to be deposed. And I warned the man at dinner that night. I said, buddy, I said, you got to realize something. Your life's in danger. And he goes, well, I'm not in danger. I carry a gun everywhere I go. I said, dude, there's so many ways to kill you. It's ridiculous. You won't even know what happened. The following Tuesday, they were supposed to have the hearing, the deposition, and a friend of mine called me up who was friends with this guy and said that he was found dead at a tractor auction and that he had a puncture mark on his left arm and his heart exploded.
And of course, Ted, you warned him. I warned him. You said, don't go out in public for the next week.
You were there. You heard me. Mm-hmm. Yep, you heard me. And I warned him, and I said, don't do this. They're going to kill you. And sure enough, he was dead. We met him. The first time we ever met the guy was on a Friday night. The following Friday, we were at his funeral. And the sad part about it is that's not an isolated incident. The TV evangelists that are out there, some of them, not all of them. And guys, listen to me. I've been on a bunch of these people's shows, and I've seen behind the scenes. Now, some of them are really legitimate. They really are. Some of them are routinely involved in orgies, in drugs, in prostitution, in adultery. This list goes on and on and on. And I'm not going to mention any names here, because if I do, then I have to pull the show off the archives. I'm not going to do that. But the point is, give to your local church. Give to your local ministries. Give to the people that you know. When you see somebody on the side of the road and they're begging for money, buy them a hamburger, for heaven's sakes. You know, just do something to help people and not support these giant TV evangelists. And if you support these guys, think about this. If all you're doing is sending them money and someone in your family dies, who are you going to get to do the funeral? These guys aren't going to show up. You know, they live in their $8, $10, $12 million homes, which, you know, whatever. I don't care about any of that. And they fly their $60 million jets around, whatever. But the point is, a lot of these guys are corrupt to the core. And I've known a bunch of them. I mean, I've seen them getting charged with pedophilia and people suing them. And I mean, on and on and on. God, it nauseates me. And I remember one time we were talking to my current pastor years ago, and I was telling some of the stories that I know, but I was naming names, and he goes, man, Ted, it's hard to believe that you still go to church. And I said, well, the truth is, I know who my Redeemer is. I know who saved me. I know my relationship with Jesus Christ. But I know one thing, I don't send any money to these TV evangelists ever. I'd never do that. Support your local churches, guys. Support your local groups. Support your local youth group. Do everything you possibly can to help children to get to church. You know, support your local, you know, groups that are trying to get these kids off the drugs that are ministries. I mean, support these people and realize
another
that,
good thing is Ted, just to, is to it, especially camps. The camps are great. Most of these Christian camps from the churches are really great. If there's kids that can't afford to go to camp, make it your point to help some of these kids go to camp during the summer. How many kids can't go because they don't have the money?
That's right. No, it's just true. Now, one article I want to talk about. I started this on Friday and I didn't get a chance to finish it. The U.S. intelligence chief says we might use the Internet of Things to spy on you. James Clapper did not name specific agencies as being involved in surveillance via home smart devices, but he said in congressional testimony, it is a distinct possibility that we're going to start using your devices that connect to the internet and one to another to listen to you. Samsung came out last year and they warned you not to do private conversations in front of their TV sets because it was all being broadcast over the internet and it could be used by third parties. They warned you not to do that. Well, my warning to Samsung is, don't worry, I'm never going to buy your product. How about that? But see, your dishwashers have microphones in them. Your TVs have microphones in them. Your thermostats have microphones in them. Anything that's connected to the internet can be used as a listening device. And you think, well, this is crazy. Well, guys, I told you about this years and years and years ago, and nobody believed me. But now he's coming out and he's saying this. The head guy is saying this, that they have the ability to connect to the household devices, which are a potential treasure trove to intelligence agencies seeking unobtrusive ways to listen and watch a target, according to a study that Harvard Beckman Center for the Internet and Society released last week. The study found that the signals explosions represented by the Internet of Things would overwhelm any privacy benefits by users of commercial encryption, even as Clapper in his testimony again alleged the growth of encryption was having a negative effect on intelligence gathering. It was a complete lie. These guys have gotten themselves so caught up in spying on you and taking your rights away and breaking your Fourth and Fifth and Sixth and whatever amendments they want to break. It's nuts. Now, here's another article by Trevor Tim, because the government was just admitted it will use smart home devices for spying. And this is a good one. I want to read you part of this, too, because it says recognition features. They're talking about the smartphones. Hang on, my iPad just dumped on me, so I got to pull it back up again. It says, in the future, intelligence services might use the Internet of Things for identification, surveillance, monitoring, location tracking, and targeting for recruitment or to gain access to a network or user's credentials. Unbelievable. And they're admitting to doing this now. And it says, while Samsung took a bunch of heat, a wide array of devices will now act as an all-seeing or all-listening devices, including other television models, Xbox Kinect, Amazon Echo, and GM's OnStar that tracks car owners' driving patterns. Even a new Barbie has the ability to spy on you, which connects to the main brain of the Barbie thing. I mean, Sharon, this is absolutely insane. And, you know, I mean, what if you and your wife are doing something personal and some TV's listening to everything or watching you? I mean, this is insanity.
The same thing. I was thinking the same thing. You know, you're in the privacy of your bedroom, okay? I don't want people listening to me. You know, it's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous, but that's what's going on, and that's what's happening here. And now we've just basically had a massive shift in the judicial power structure with Anthony Scalia dying. And the sad part about it is, nobody, you know, is even talking about the fact that he may have been murdered. Because remember, the mainstream media is controlled by the AP Wire and Reuters, which are controlled by the Rothschild Enterprises, which control all the major TV, all the pharmaceuticals, and who control the shadow government in the United States, along with the Rockefeller Foundation and a bunch of these other guys. These guys want this stuff to be happening to us, and that's what they're doing. And, you know, so it's just, it completely blows my mind. Here's another article on the flu shot. This is a crazy one. Flu shot paralyzes a 9-year-old girl. She goes from speaking 2 languages fluently to now only being able to speak 10 words. And it goes on that this article is by, see, who's this thing's by? It's, again, it's Health Impact News. As we have previously reported, the annual flu vaccine is the most dangerous vaccine in America. More awards for damages due to injuries and death related to the flu vaccine are issued each year via vaccine court than all other vaccines combined. In this story from the ABC Action News in Tampa, a 9-year-old girl becomes paralyzed from the neck down right after the flu vaccine and goes from speaking 2 languages to now only being able to speak 10 words. I mean, unbelievable. And I mean, how in the world can we tell you guys this stuff over and over and over? And people still call up, Sharon, and they ask me in the office, well, what about this shot or that shot? My response is always, no, I don't do any of these shots. Don't do it. What do you think, Sharon?
Prevention is the key. And the thing is, if you're worried, number one, you shouldn't be worried. Give it to God. But if you're concerned about getting the flu, why don't you do everything you can to prevent it? Get on a good program that's going to keep you from getting the flu, that's going to build your immune system, that's going to keep your immune system high, that no matter who you're around, you're going to have a really good immune system. Get lots of sleep. Make sleep a priority. That's got to be done. And then stay off a lot of sugar. Sugar lowers the white blood count, and then your immune system goes down. So during flu season, if you just do a few things and stay on a couple supplements that we have for our immune protocol, you don't need a flu shot. It's all a lie.
Well, that's true. The best thing is vitamin D3, K2 every day. One pill a day, that's it. And potassium iodide, one pill a day, about 3 or 4 vitamin C tablets a day, 2 or 3,000 milligrams. And that's the biggest thing you're going to do for your immune system. And if you start feeling kind of funky and don't feel quite right, take about 4 astragalus in the morning when you get out of bed. Don't do them at night because it'll keep you awake. And that's one of the best things you can do for your immune system. There's all kinds of, in fact, we have an immune system protocol listed on the front page of healthmasters.com website that tells you exactly what to do to keep your immune system super, super strong. We did that. I put that protocol together when we did the show a few weeks ago with Hagman on Morgellons disease. Now, here's another article. This is from Dave Hodges, by the way, who'll be on right behind me for 3 hours and 15 minutes. You guys stay tuned and listen to Dave. 13-year-old girls service the global elite courtesy of the Super Bowl and Child Protective Services. And you heard that right. They're bringing in ages 13 to 17 who've been rescued by the FBI in the San Francisco area who were connected to the recent Super Bowl, who have been used as prostitutes through 12 pimps and 85 prostitution clients were arrested, and a further 129 adults were arrested by the FBI for prostitution during the Super Bowl.
Oh my gosh.
These young girls, and the average age for entering into child prostitution is 13 years old, Sharon, according to the Department of Justice. Child prostitution.
And we have a child that's 13.
I know. Child prostitution is estimated $35 to $50 billion a year illicit industry, second only to drug trafficking. This heinous practice, this is right from Dave Hodges' website, this heinous practice victimizes between 300,000 to 400,000 American children every year in some form of sex trafficking, according to the Blue Campaign, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security program aimed at educating the public about the crime. The average age for entering into child prostitution is 13 years of age. And the United Nations does it. They facilitate it. I mean, this story gets so gross and so bad when you start talking about it. They're bringing these kids in. A lot of them are going right through the Child Protective Services net and getting lost into that mess. I gotta change the subject. That's too negative for me to talk about. Here's from the Free Thought Project. It goes, this is from Justin Gardner. Despite global economy plummeting into despair, the mega banks boost an all-time record profit. That's because of the buying of their own stocks and also of the $19 trillion that the Fed dumped into these banks to buy back their own stocks and for all of the mergers and acquisitions that took place last year. The U.S. banking industry earned a net income of $163 billion in 2015, the highest net income of any year in the SNL bank regulatory database. The four largest banks, here we go, J.P. Morgan, another Rothschild bank, Chase Bank, oh, there's another one, and of course, Wells Fargo and Citibank, oh, there's another one, earned 42% of the industry's income in 2015. Here we have the middle class whose wages have stagnated while health insurance costs are reaching crippling proportions, some of 700% increase in health care costs. Wealth inequality in the U.S. has greatly expanded. This what's happening here, again, there's a book you need to read, and I promoted it to you multiple times on the show. It is completely free. It's a download. It's by Shelton Emery, and it's called Billions for the Bankers and Debts for the People. I'm going to repeat it. It's free, online, free. Billions for the Bankers and Debts for the People. It's like a little 35, 36-page little short booklet that explains this whole corrupt banking system and how bad it is. Again, these guys get to keep all the marbles. They win. They cheat. It's like we're going to a Las Vegas casino that's got the numbers are all fixed. You never beat the house. I was in Vegas years ago. We had gone there for a radio talk show, and I was walking with one of my friends through the streets trying to avoid all the prostitutes. And I remember looking at Caesar's Palace, and I looked at my buddy, his name was Gene Dawes, and I looked at Gene, and I said, Gene, look at the size of this building. Look at Caesar's. Look at these facilities. This is because when people come here, they lose everything. These casinos aren't paying out huge amounts of money. And then we went to one wall inside one of the casinos and had a list of their winners. They won $1,000 and $5,000 and $10,000, and there was one that had won $100,000. There's like 20 or 30 pictures on the wall where they had gotten these little checks. And I said, Gene, they lose millions and millions and millions of dollars a day in these big casinos, and the casinos take all their money. They charge their credit cards. They take their house mortgages. They do whatever they have to get their money paid. I mean, this is all mob stuff. This is just all awful stuff. And I said, the crazy thing about all of this, I said, is that people get addicted to this stuff and they lose everything they own. Another story. Russian Prime Minister warns the U.S. and Arab countries invading Syria will start a new war. Guys, you know, I don't know what to say about this. I mean, Russia has about had enough. you remember what happened back in the 60s, if you guys remember? We put these intercontinental ballistic, we didn't even need them, but we had to put these ballistic missiles inside of Turkey. That's what started the entire thing with the Cuban Missile Crisis, is that we put our missiles inside of Turkey that could reach Moscow in almost, you know, within a few minutes, and Russia flipped out and said, no, we don't want to do this, so we're going to put missiles in Cuba to show you guys how it feels. And so when Kennedy agreed to pull the missiles out of Turkey, you know, the Russians agreed to pull the missiles out of Cuba. I mean, we have to realize Russia's not trying to do world conquest like we are. They're not inside invading all these countries in the Middle East. They're not trying to force the continuation of the petrodollar. They're not allowing the Rothschild cartel to come in there and completely decimate other countries. We're doing all that. We're the lapdog of the doggone banking cartels, the international conglomerates, international corporations that are running the planet. We allow them to do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and we don't care. Russia's not the one doing that. Look at Venezuela. Here's another article, February the 4th. Hyperinflation in Venezuela. Venezuela has begun ordering banknotes by the entire plane load. Wow. They can't print the money fast enough, Sharon. Three dozen 747 cargo planes have arrived in Venezuela, all stuffed with newly printed money. That's what hyperinflation looks like. And see, that's what they did. And they took Chavez out because they didn't want him out there because he demanded all that gold. And now they're having to give the gold back because they don't have a way to pay their bills. It's unbelievable. A really good article by Paul Craig Roberts. There is no freedom without truth. This is like you said a minute ago, Sharon, when you're talking about relationships. People say, I love you, okay, and they say that to someone. The only way you can build that pinnacle of love is you have to have trust and respect as base stones. You have to have the two building blocks underneath the love, trust and respect. And if you don't do that, what ends up happening is you get into a situation where you don't trust somebody, you don't respect somebody, you're not going to love them. And if you do love them, you're not going to love them very long. And you'll start questioning every single thing they do. Paul Craig Roberts says, there's no freedom without truth. He's the conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, and every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development. And he goes on to say how Dwight D. Eisenhower was a five-star general in charge of Normandy invasion and a popular two-term president of the United States. Today he would be called a conspiracy theorist. I mean, everybody to read this. We're almost out of time tonight, I'm not going to try to read this. This is on Paul Craig Roberts' website. The name of the article is There Is No Freedom Without Truth. And I think you need to all just pick up the doggone internet here and take a look at this after you listen to Dave Hodges tonight. It's so very, very important that you do this. Sharon, what else did you want to say about relationships or anything I've talked about so far?
Well, being Valentine's Day, I think, again, it just goes back to what we're teaching our children, the next generation. We've got to be examples. I mean, we're it. And we were just talking earlier before the show. I was talking to some of my kids, and they've got some friends coming over, and we were saying how this generation has gotten where they accept so much trash in the movies and everything that we wouldn't tolerate, you know, today. And it's because the media's got them so brainwashed, and it's up to us as parents, as grandparents, as leaders, to really just try and get our kids back and just make America like it's supposed to be again.
Oh, by the way, I've read the reviews on that new movie, Deadpool. Do not let your children go to see that movie. Do not go see that movie yourself. It is filled with filth, explicit nudity, graphic violence, just filthy, filthy, filthy language that's unbelievably crude. The new movie Deadpool, it's got like an 85% approval rating of all the perverts that have gone to see it. It's one of the sickest, most, you should read the actual reviews on it from a Christian standpoint. It's pure and total filth. I promise
trash.
You, if you're a Christian and you walk in there, you'll be walking out within 5 minutes demanding a refund, but don't put yourself through it. Some R-rated movies like 13 Hours, the one with Benghazi, that's an R-rated movie. It's got some bad language in it. It's a war-type movie, but it's an actually decent movie. This
true
movie
story.
From all of the reviews, if that's right, from this movie from all of the reviews, absolute filth. One other thing I want to say something about this. A couple of nights ago, we were watching the South Carolina debates with Trump. I think it was last night or was that night before, Sharon? I don't remember anymore.
It was last night.
And Jeb Bush comes in and starts telling Trump that he uses eminent domain to take advantage of people. And then what happened is he didn't even begin realizing that there was a man in Florida. He did the same thing to. His name was oh gosh, his name's Jesse Hardy, I believe. And he basically had a bunch of land. He was a crippled veteran that had broken his leg and gotten crippled from a jump. And Bush could not seize his property. They kept offering him more and more money. Finally, under an emergency order by Governor Bush, they went out and they took over his property. And they said to him, we're taking it via eminent domain. So don't believe this mess that Jeb Bush never used eminent domain in the state of Florida, because we saw him do it when he did this to Jesse. This is back in 1995, I guess it wasn't 95, it was a little bit later than that. I don't remember the exact year on this. But the point is, I just got this article sent to me. Don't believe any of this stuff about any of it. And so it's just, you know. Do you remember, Sharon? I don't remember who was our governor at the time. They started spraying us with malathion in Florida. I know it was back in the '90s. Remember that? And see, don't trust these guys. You got to go back and you got to look at what they're doing. I think it was Bush was the governor. They started spraying us with DC-3s, and they were spraying us with malathion. In fact, there's another really good article here. This is from Activist Post. And it says other new Manhattan chemtrail project agendas. And they start talking about the generated frequencies of mind control with the chemtrails, which I discussed in length about 3 Sundays ago. And you guys need to go back and listen to that show and that archive and how they did all of that stuff and what they do and what they do with gamma waves and all the other stuff they do with all this energy they do. And then this article goes on about Michael Aquino. Now remember, Michael Aquino was a second degree warlock. He worked for the CIA in the military, and he was also a satanic high priest at the temple of Set. I mean, these guys, remember what I told you several months ago when I did Hagman's show? I said, the United States we the people of the United States have given the control of our country to the government through elections, okay? They have turned around and given it over to the military. The military has turned it around and given it to the CIA and the other covert groups through the shadow government. They've turned around and given it over to these warlocks and these wizards and these Satan groups and these sorcerers. And now they're turning it over to the AI, the artificial intelligence they're trying to feed everybody's data back into. So this whole thing is so messed up, it's hard to believe it. Everybody needs to read this article. It's absolutely excellent. What else you want to say, Sharon?
I just really appreciate everybody listening, and I really, really, really hope that everybody just can get more people to listen to alternative radio and listen to all these good hosts that are telling the truth, and just check it out for yourself, but to get people awake. That's the most important thing we can do.
Right. One more quick thing. We're almost out of time. The lead developer of HPV vaccines comes clean, warns parents and young girls it's all a giant deadly scam. This is Australia's National Review, posted February 11, 2016 on Gardasil. And it's Dr. Diane Harper was the leading expert responsible for the Phase 2 and Phase 3 safety effectiveness studies, and she's come out and said the whole thing's a giant scam. Guys, thank you. Stay tuned for Dave Hodges. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Stay tuned for Katie. She's the co-host on with Dave. Please support us at healthmasters.com. 1-800-726-1834. We hope you enjoyed our Valentine's show. That's why we want to do the positive stuff at the beginning of the show, because all this other news sometimes gets kind of awkward. So we love you. We appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you tomorrow from 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much for your support.